There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Live local talk over the hour. And a shortened show today with Hoops Tonight. Move some things in the schedule. And Ron and Angelo, two guys and some change, they're on at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So we'll be doing this for an hour. But then remember to join me for State of the Union tonight on Twitter at FM Talk 106.5. Okay? Find me on Twitter, and we will converse during the State of the Union starting at 8 o'clock our time, and we'll talk more about that in just a second with my buddy Cameron Smith. I do want to give you a heads up, because if you heard, like, last hour, Boon Pie Minute today is all about the throws of Mardi Gras, from the history of what used to be thrown from the floats to what we're throwing today. Of course, voiced in the concept by my partner, my buddy Rennie Brabner. Well, if you want to go back and share that, a Moon Pie Minute from today. As of tomorrow, that'll post up on our Moon Pie Minute page on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. You can go to the podcast. So this year we're podcasting like we do all our live local content. We're doing the Moon Pie Minutes as well. So you want to share those with family out of state or somebody in the cubicle next to you, whatever it is, go to FMTalk1065.com, click the Moon Pie Minute tab, and you can get the podcast there as well. All right. So yeah, y'all say hello to, I don't know if he's going to make Mardi Gras, although we got to get him and the crew down sometime soon for Mardi Gras in Mobile. Executive Director of the Republican House Policy Committee, my buddy Cameron Smith. Hey.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, we've got to get you down for the Boom Boom sometime.
Yeah, my boys have asked about that. They're starting to get old enough where they're kind of curious about Mardi Gras and what's going on. And I mentioned the moon pie drop, and they're like, wait, what? they throw moon pies off the buildings. I'm like, oh, basically, sort of.
Yeah, sure. I mean, y'all can. You know, you might get arrested, but y'all can, you know, the city does it. It's okay. With a big one, we lower. But I'll give them somewhere they can throw moon pies at stuff. I'll make that happen.
That works.
All right. Tonight, State of the Union, and it's a week delayed. Is there anything there, or is it just, is anything about having that week delay that you see that will play out tonight, or is it just business as usual?
I think it'll be business as usual. I doubt that the president or the speaker will address the fact that it's a little bit behind schedule. They had that dust up. It went through the media cycle, and I think it'll be a fairly standard State of the Union.
All right. Speaking of standard States of the Union, to come out and say the presidents will say our State of our Union is strong, and then they'll go into making the case why that is so, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, how's President Trump going to lay this out? Economy going to be first? Where does he go second? Kind of, what's your feeling?
Well, I think that economic indicators have been good for Trump. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, he's going to, I have to imagine, reemphasize. He's going to talk about his trade policy and will, I strongly suspect, talk about how Americans are getting better deals now, and basically his rosy version of his trade policies. And then we know that immigration is going to be in there. That's in the center, especially with another potentially looming shutdown. Based on the guests he's invited, we'll probably see something about criminal justice, some things about opioid harm reduction. I think that there will generally be an effort to move a positive message. And I think it will be, in fact, unity again of, hey, we're rough and tumble at times. We knock heads, but we can work together.
And when you do that, when you bring out this message of unity, there's going to, at least from the outside, from down here in Southwest Alabama, looking at it, I wonder if the president's going to offer some kind of olive branch here or something to the Democrats to be able to say, hey, yeah, they did this right, so we can work together on this other thing.
Well, you can talk about infrastructure. I mean, there's a lot of areas where if the president wants, he can try to seek a common ground with Democrats. I think a magnanimous tone of saying, hey, I can work with Democrats. You know, look at them. They have all the best people. Very, you've seen him do this in other contexts, but to be favorably disposed. I think that puts Democrats in an uncomfortable position because there's a significant contingent of the Democratic base that really just wants to see Democrats attack Trump, go after him with hammer and tongs. And I think that plays actually into Trump. That gives him the ability to negotiate better. I think I would be very surprised if we don't see an emphasis on life, and especially in light of some of the late-term abortion dust-ups we've seen in New York and with the governor of Virginia. I think that's something that Trump will absolutely try to weave in there. And again, I think that's a tough issue for Democrats to handle, because it's particularly as far as late-term abortions go, I don't think that the majority of the country is in the Democrats' camp on that one.
No, and I think, you know, as you look at whether it be something like trade policy or, you know, DACA for the wall or things that have nuance in this, the discussion of late-term abortions, yeah, I think that there's got to be, I would imagine, a lot of Democrats that have some soul-searching there, and I wonder if the president can't get a little bit of a wedge in there and maybe start setting things up for 2020.
And I think that's the other thing to keep in mind here is that this is, we're not as far out as people would think. And you're going to have several declared Democratic presidential candidates in the room. This is an opportunity for Trump to sort of set that tenor. He's going to need those evangelical voters to show back up. And an issue like late-term abortions is one that folks are passionate about. And so I think that's something that he's going to put out there. It's going to be very uncomfortable for Democrats if they aggressively defend late-term abortions. They speak to a very small contingency or small cohort of their base, but they lose a lot of the rest of the country that's sort of looking at that saying, wait a minute, we don't know about this. And that's where I think Trump with the wall, border security, life, those type of issues he wants to throw out there and create a contrast point going into 2020.
All right, coming right back, more with Cameron Smith, and we'll talk about the State of the Union tonight and then what happens next. In other words, I mean, if we're going to talk about this late-term abortion issue that is wrangling some Democrats, will the president suggest the actual policy change? What could be done? That'll be discussed also. The border wall. Looking at February 15th, right? That's a deadline on this one. Will they strike a compromise? And will tonight help? Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5. And it is Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Speaking of tonight's State of the Union, that's our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. How do you feel about the state of our union? Tell us if you feel it's strong. 40% of y'all say strong, 20% say weak, 20% say improving. The rest of y'all say declining. You can vote right now, front page of fmtalk1065.com, right there on the right-hand column. While you're there, of course, check out the podcast, a Moon Pie Minute, show schedule, all that kind of good stuff. Also, coming up this hour, your chance at winning some tickets to the Mobile Boat Show. I know they're setting up down there, got some pictures today. Doors open on Friday, so if you want to sneak out for a little lunchtime boat viewing, that happens Friday. It goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Remember, we're there all 3 days with the FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors Guides Corner. We'll be there with the best in inshore, offshore guides, freshwater fishing, folks from the hunting world, kayaking, all that kind of good stuff. Give you more details coming up. But I want to continue our conversation with Cameron Smith. And, you know, Cameron, before we get back into this, you're executive director of the House Republican Policy Committee. Explain to adults like me what that means. What do you do every day?
Sure. I work for Chairman Gary Palmer, who represents Alabama's 6th District. He's in House leadership, and his job is to help advise the Republicans in Congress on policy ideas, to help look at some of the challenges we're facing and construct different policy solutions. And his background is president of the Alabama Policy Institute, taking that to Congress, and now as part of congressional leadership, I serve him in helping him execute that task.
Okay. So if the president tonight, which I'm with you, I think he will bring up this issue of you know, that has come back to, I guess, national consciousness of late-term abortion as of late, is there any move that can be made by the federal government or at the at some other level that would, even though the scenario laid out by Governor Northam is one that was voted down in the Virginia legislature, something like that, if they were talking, I mean, to most of us, I think, look at that, say, that's beyond the pale. That's not even, I don't know how there's anybody who's backing that idea. Is there something that could be done?
Absolutely. I mean, and everybody thinks big ball. They think, well, hey, ban this or permit that. One of the things that the Republican Policy Committee is looking into is what are some of the little things. For example, on late-term abortion, there's a figure that gets floated around in the media popularly of, well, only 1.3% of abortions happen after 21 weeks of gestation. Well, here's the problem with that. If you look at the figure that comes from CDC data, you realize that the CDC data is voluntarily reported, and then it leaves out places like the District of Columbia and the state of California. I don't think Florida's data is included. So there's things that we can look at, like, hey, we need to have an accurate picture for members of Congress, folks looking at the state of play, what's actually happening in the real world. We need accurate information and data. Those are the type of things that we're looking at that a lot of folks might not find super interesting, but it's really, really important to have an accurate conversation about these.
Okay, so this is stuff y'all are thinking about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Chairman Palmer is ardently pro-life and is looking at this. And frankly, like many Alabamians, many people around the country who support life, saying, wow, this is not good. And what we need to do is look at solutions across the board, things that we might not even be thinking about right now. And so we're looking at research. We're reading the footnotes to federal reports, trying to figure out, okay, where are the holes in the information? Where do we not have the ability to really advance the conversation because the information isn't thorough and complete? Those are things that we're looking at right now, and obviously there are a lot of other solutions that we'd like to look at. And frankly, one of the things that may change this dynamic significantly is the makeup of the Supreme Court, that, as you know, has changed significantly over the past couple of years.
Absolutely. And have you heard anything from Washington, whether Justice Ginsburg will be there tonight or not? I know last year not. This year, heard something that she was doing okay. I mean, have you heard anything on that front?
I saw where she made a public appearance. I obviously wish her well and hope that she recovers from her procedure. I don't know if she's in condition to join the State of the Union tonight or not. I haven't heard.
All right. Another huge issue, probably the biggest, the lion's share issue, I can imagine, for the president will be addressing whatever it is. I'm not going to say wall, fence, a border, a barrier on the southern border. This is a place where it seems like I know there's negotiation going on. I've been following what Senator Shelby is working on all this, but I don't see it from the president's side or from Pelosi's side or from Schumer's side that they're any closer to any kind of deal. Is there anything that the president will lay out tonight do you think that would put this in motion?
The answer for me is I certainly hope so. I think the president has made his position very clear that a physical barrier of some sort is part of a border security plan. and the Speaker and Minority Leader in the Senate have made their perspectives very clear that they don't want that. I think that it's also, and we've discussed this previously, it's certainly possible that you see the president try to go it alone and work around Congress. But some of the challenges that we've seen under the Obama administration sort of come back to say, wait, we looked at unilateral action. That's the reason Trump was able to undo a lot of the things that Obama did. Well, what happens if Trump uses unilateral authority in the future, if you have a Democratic administration? We do have co-equal branches of government. We do have a separation of powers. I'd really like to see Congress coming up with a solution here.
Right. I mean, because basically what you're saying in between the lines there is this emergency action, right? I mean, the rumor mill is that he is not going to move to that tonight, but maybe sometime between now and the 15th he would.
Well, my sincere hope is that Congress can come up with a plan for a comprehensive border security solution that addresses not only the need for physical barriers, but border security across the board. I think that that's something where Democrats and Republicans may be talking past each other in some respects, that I think there is some common ground saying we do need to secure our borders, and hopefully we can find some common ground there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where even, for example, our Senator Jones, Doug Jones, I mean, where, I mean, he is at least in some conversation I've heard, some town halls he did, I think, in the Huntsville area, seemed open just to some discussion of security. I mean, it seems like for him it's more the semantics of wall versus barrier or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, ultimately tonight, the thing that we're going to hear are probably some anecdotes and stories about, hey, here's where illegal immigration, here's where people have been hurt because the border has not been adequately secured. I suspect the Democrats' response will suggest that those concerns are overblown, but I certainly don't think they are for the families that have lost loved ones to people who weren't supposed to be here in the first place.
Cameron, and then with the after show and the response here, from the Democrats. That's what I'm wondering, you know, when, like you said earlier, the president, if he is magnanimous and you know, reaches out to Democrats and says, listen, I think I work with them on this and that, and let's work together as Americans, that kind of sets the stage for Abrams' response, right? For Stacey Abrams' response to the president's speech.
Absolutely. And I think the challenge is these speeches are basically in the can, more or less, already. And so if the president comes out in an unexpected way and does engage Democrats positively, if Democrats are too over the top in their attacking of the president, I think, again, that could be really difficult for them because there's a cohort of their base that feels strongly about making sure that they get Trump. But I don't think that that's certainly maybe even the majority of Democrats.
Whoa. You don't think it's the majority?
Well, I think Democrats who really want to see progress made. They don't want to see the whole agenda made of attacking Trump. But we know that there's a huge component of the base that does. And I think that creates a split for Democrats that makes things challenging for them.
How much is that is a real thing? We talk about it a bunch on the show, but you're up there. You're in the lion's den. If you're somebody like a moderate Democrat or even somebody who's left like Nancy Pelosi, but not maybe as far left as some of the new kids on the block in the House for the Democrats, how much of getting your folks in line is going on up there?
Well, I think that you're pointing on it exactly, that they're having, the Speaker has a very significant challenge now of keeping all aspects of the Democratic Party together. We've seen this a little bit with Republicans, but I think Democrats don't face it to any lesser of a degree because the president has, I think, caused a polarizing effect even within the Democratic Party, that I think there are a lot of Democrats that want to talk policy, they want to talk about ideas, they want to find some solutions, and they'd rather not spend all their time talking about Trump's personality and those types of things.
Well, we will watch for it tonight for sure. And Cameron, as always, we appreciate your time being on with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Karen Smith. From the inside. Executive Director of the House Republican Policy Committee. And pretty swell guy as it is, too. All right, check in with the news and then your calls. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. I'm looking at one of the modern miracles here. And I don't know if we have time in the show for me to explain why I have a box, and Dalton's seen it, of Hormel's Black Label, fully cooked, original, 100% real thick-cut bacon sitting in the studio. Doesn't need refrigeration. It says it's ready to eat right here, so Dalton, we can break this out and just eat it out of the box. Hey, another one of the great things that has changed in the marketplace, number one, not having to refrigerate bacon. Number two, having your razor blade show up at the house. Been telling you for years about shaving with Harry's. I love the price. Obviously, the price is a big driver, but if the shave wasn't great, the price wouldn't, who cares if the shave's bad, even if you get a good deal? Well, lucky for all of us, the shave is great with Harry's. The price is half what you're paying right now at the pharmacy or the grocery store when you get replacement blades. And also, you don't have to remember to go buy them. They show up at the house. You get a, kind of get your feel for how many blades you want a month. And then, bingo, they show up in the mailbox. Just walk out and get them. And you can join myself and another 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. When you get a 5-blade razor, here's the deal. 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, just $3. Plus, you'll get free shipping when you use code MOBILE at Harry's.com. Okay, it's a limited time deal. This is like the best deal. Out of all the years telling you about Harry's, this is the best deal. You can do this right now. Listeners of Midday Mobile, you get if you're a new customer, like it's not for me, but if you're new to Harry's.com, you get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at Harry's.com. That means razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all $3. Free shipping. Use code MOBILE at Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com today. Use code MOBILE at checkout and claim your offer. And let them know that I sent you there and help support this show. All right? But yeah, I've been telling you about it for years. And it's a great shave. It's a great deal. But as the intro offers have gone, this is the best one yet. Check them out. Harry's.com. Use code MOBILE. All right. To the phones we go. And let's go to... Hey, it's John, the lone progressive from Spanish Fort. Although I argued with you the other day, I don't think you are. I think maybe just you said in your neighborhood, John, or?
Well, actually, I'm maybe like the whack-a-mole. I'm the only one that sticks my head up sometimes. I don't know. But, Sean, yeah, I think if you can take President Clinton, Bush 43, and Obama's State of the Unions and add them up together, they're not going to come close to, I think, what's going to be the most contentious State of the Union tonight. What do you think?
Obviously, I have no insight. I just have kind of a gut feeling. And I think that the president will be magnanimous. As if I was in his shoes trying to set up a deal, I think I would offer some olive branches to Democrats. You know, just say, yeah, they've been good on this, and I sure can't wait for them to work with me on this other thing. Or something to that effect. I don't think it's going to be... just come out. I think it's going to be more honey than vinegar. I really do. Well, but that's, hey, I may be wrong.
I'm actually, oddly enough, I'm not talking about President Trump. I'm talking about the virtual freak show of the N1s that are going to be in the Capitol tonight.
The what?
The N1s, the guests of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Representatives.
Yeah, I mean,
It is an eclectic group, shall I say.
Yeah, the purpose there, I mean, and what John's talking about is the guest, right? The guest list here, the and ones that will show up. And the president can have a guest and point them out and say something about them. But when, for example, Democrats will bring guests, the commentators will say, well, there's so-and-so, Senator so-and-so, and they've brought this person, and the reason they brought him is X, Y, and Z. I mean, that's the contrast to whatever the president is saying.
Right, and I think, and I'll let you go, great show as usual. I think when President Obama came out with the Obamacare resolution, and we had the representative from, I believe, North Carolina calling him a liar, yelling out.
Mm-hmm. You lie.
I think there's going to be a few more yells from the gallery tonight. Just an opinion. Great show, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I wonder if that'll happen. I thought about that. But I don't know. I don't think that situation will be there. Speaking of senators, Lindsey Graham had this to say just a little bit ago.
To every Republican, if you don't stand behind this president, we're not going to stand behind you when it comes to the wall. This is the defining moment of his presidency.
Now, it's funny how Senator Graham has come around on things here, but he said, yeah, we're never going to have a deal unless we get a wall as part of it. Now, this is probably pretty good, if you're looking at the politics of it, to lay this out before tonight's State of the Union speech. If you have Lindsey Graham, and obviously the president has been very clear about what he wants here, at least in this case. Sometimes he's not so clear. But he's demanded now, the $5.7 billion for the wall funding. Okay, so if you know that's the thing, and Lindsey Graham's saying, Republicans, there can be, we're going to police our own ranks. You've got to be behind this president for wall funding. Then if you do that, then the president can, maybe back to what I was saying to John there, the president can try to appeal to Democrats to break ranks. And he may pick certain Democrat senators, members of the House, to break ranks. And will that happen? You wouldn't get, if you get out, if you're President Trump and you get out, whatever you, I know, there's going to be people say, well, he should say, once again, this is a negotiation, right? So in this point in the negotiation, would it behoove the president to come out and just rip every Democrat tonight, or try to pick out certain Democrats and try to say, and put some splits and say, these people have really done a great job, and I really look forward to them helping. I know I've heard these people, may not want to call it a wall, but want to call it something else, and we can work with them and try to split them away. Now, of course, that same kind of messaging, I mean, that was Lindsey Graham to Republicans, but you know that same kind of messaging was going from Senator Schumer to Democrats in the Senate. You better not break rank. Same thing's happening in the House. You better not break rank. You can't, I don't care. I'll give you some deal on something else one day, but you better not break rank. So who will break rank? 343-0106, 343-0106. I saw this, speaking kind of back to the Republican side, story over the Hill, Tal Axelrod posted this morning. Said Republicans would back Trump on emergency to build wall, says a GOP senator. Senator John Kennedy, Republican out of Louisiana, predicted today that the number of GOP senators, a number of GOP senators will back President Trump's declaration of a national emergency to build the wall on the Mexican border, despite their opposition to it. Now, this is where stuff gets interesting. This is the politics, right? These would be Republican senators that disagree with building a wall, which but they will back the president on a national emergency declaration. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell met with the president last week and warned that if he goes through with the declaration, as he has signaled, this could lead to passage in the House of a resolution blocking Trump's plan. McConnell said he'd have no choice under Senate rules but to bring the resolution to the Senate floor for a vote, where he said it could get enough GOP votes to be approved. Kennedy, however, this is Representative Kennedy out of Louisiana, expressed doubt that Republicans would actually vote against Trump on the matter. He said, some of my colleagues in the Senate on both sides of the aisle, particularly Republicans, are all a titter about the fact that he might do it, but I've learned in this place talk's cheap. He said, Kennedy went on to say, let's see how they vote. If the president does it, I'm willing to bet you a lot of Republicans who are saying it's a bad idea and he shouldn't do it, they'll vote to support him, end quote. Republicans, of course, you get the numbers here, hold a 53-47 majority in the Senate, meaning that if all Democrats voted for a resolution to block President Trump, Republicans could afford no more than 3 defections if they wish to prevent the resolution from disapproving the declaration from passing. Gee, love how you have a approval of a negative. It's the way the austere body of the Senate works, isn't it? Goes on in the story to say, it's likely Trump would veto such a measure, and it's unlikely Congress could then pass a resolution with a veto-proof majority to override Trump. Still, McConnell and other Republicans would rather avoid the fight if they can. Kennedy dismissed concerns over President Trump declaring an emergency to build a border wall, which other Republicans have said could be used as a precedent for a Democratic president to declare an emergency on climate change or health care. So, and that goes, you know, we talked about that with Cameron a second ago. There, it's the inverse to me. This is what gets me about how Washington happens. The inverse would make more sense. If there was a, the inverse of this would mean more to me as somebody really being a true servant of our republic. If someone said, listen, I am for building the border wall, but I am going to oppose an emergency declaration. That's, that to me says somebody who has a core belief, but also looks at a core belief of how our system of government is set up. I said this during Bush. I said this during Obama. Every time everybody cheers, oh, my side, let's expand executive power. It's bad. It is bad. I don't care if it's your team out there. The expansion of executive power is not good. The balance is set up for a reason with co-equal branches of government. Now, a lot of it has been defaulted to with the legislative branch not doing things and just get said, oh, well, the judicial branch will get around to making a ruling on it. That's a thing. That's a, I mean, it's people not doing their job. But in the case of cheering for the expansion of the executive branch, and just like they say in this article, and like Kennedy refers to here, I think that is worth saying, that if you think this is a grand thing to have the president in a situation where he has to do an emergency declaration, if we set a new precedent, because it'll be challenged in court, of course, if we set a new precedent that you got to use an emergency declaration to do something that should be the province of the legislative branch, but we can't get anybody to agree for more than 12 seconds in Washington, you do it through the executive branch, and then whenever it's not your team in there, they decide this new thing, whatever it is the new emergency, and now we're going to take the what was set as precedent in the last administration, and because they did it, we're going to do it as well. There's the day-to-day business, and then there's the long game, and I just would suggest we keep our eye on the long game. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile, and reminder, program note, studio housekeeping, that at one, so just about 13 minutes from now, right after the news, Ron and Angelo, and they come on with Two Guys and Some Change. Basketball has some shifts in the schedule, so they're moving their show to 1 today. So they'll be on from 1 to 2. Then we'll be back tomorrow morning with Mobile Mornings, and everything will be as per normal. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Let's do this. Dalton, if you get ready, back in the control room, do a... I'll tell you what, let's do it this way to start off, a family four-pack, because Mobile Boat Show is an awesome, awesome event to take the entire crew to. So let's do a family four-pack of tickets to the Mobile Boat Show for caller number 6 at 343-0106. 343-0106, family four-pack of tickets. And we'll see you there. Starts up Friday. Doors open at noon. By the way, this show will be live from the Mobile Boat Show on Friday. Plus, we have a special two-hour on-location FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. My co-host Mike Ward and I will be there from 10 to noon on Saturday. The slot usually where you hear the midday replay. We'll be doing the show live from the Mobile Boat Show. But I say for families, I mean, the events going on there, number one, just put this on your to-do list. If you've never done the Fetch and Fish Dog Show, down there, they have some fantastically trained labs, and they're really long jump and doing a lot of tricks, much to the amusement of the children and the adults. And then when the adults get splashed, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to tell you that. When maybe the adults get splashed by the dogs jumping in the tank down there, the kids get a big kick out of that. Go figure. Also, the Marine Resources Touch Tables will be down there. That's Alabama Department of Marine Resources. They have a whole little exhibit there. Number one, just you stop by and get your Tide calendar while you're there. Also, you can do the touch tanks. The kids can touch marine life. Reach in there. Actually, put their grubby little kid paws on those critters, and that's it's okay. It's okay for them to do that. It's a lot of fun. My kids love it each year. Plus, the trout pond fishing means they're going to be, really shouldn't be called trout pond fishing because they bite. It's going to be trout pond catching. So there's a whole bunch of stuff for the kids to do, and I would love for you and the family to stop by and see us at the FM Talk 106.5 booth, which is the Guides Corner. We do this from Friday on through Sunday. We have the best inshore, offshore, freshwater guides, people from the World of Hunting, National Wild Turkey Federation. We also have the Hobie Kayak Pro, Benton Parrott there. Guy fishes tournaments out of a kayak, so if you're kind of getting into kayaking or kayak fishing, he's going to be there as well. And we'll post that schedule up. But the nice thing about Guides Corner, if you haven't done this before, it's not like a seminar, okay? Because a lot of people will come each year and say, oh, God, what time's your seminar start? It doesn't work that way. It's all these different guides are going to be at our booth from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so you find out when they're there, and you can stop in and just visit. And if you want to know, hey, kind of how do they pattern speckled trout in the spring, or how does Captain Wayne Miller catch bass in the fall, or what lures are they using, how are they rigging their tackle, what kind of tackle do they use, they're going to sit right there with you and show you how. And really a wealth of information. So proud to bring that back for another year at the Guides Corner. Hey, Storm, congratulations. Storm in Fairhope, Storm Floyd, just picked up his Family 4-pack. By the way, cool name. Family 4-pack of tickets to the Mobile Boat Show. We will do this again tomorrow. And reminder, we're live with Midday Mobile starting at noon on Friday. And then the special two-hour live FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors from 10 to noon on Saturday. All right, so and we'll put some more information up on the Facebook page as well. You can check us out there. All right, some text here I want to get through. Some good text here. Some ridiculous text, too, which amused me. You know who you are. Brad says, this one, whatever happened to Mexico is going to pay for the wall. Okay. I don't know, Brad. I mean, there. Listen, on both sides, I can find scorn on both sides of that, Brad. The people that will just continue to repeat that, you know, over and over again. A little bit of scorn there. At the same time, yeah, president did it to himself. He said, oh, Mexico's going to pay for it. And those who make up some three-dimensional chess, well, see what happens, Sean, is when Mexico has people not come over, therefore they're not going to be able to send money back the same way and take the money out of the country, and that's pain. Come on. You got to be a fair arbiter. The idea that Mexico is going to present a big Ed McMahon-like check to pay for the wall, come on. But those that just use that as, well, if Mexico doesn't pay for it, we don't need it. $5.7 billion. I wish it was a deal. I wish $5.7 billion meant something in Washington. Go look at the size of the bills and appropriations going on. $5.7 billion. But I wish Democrats were concerned with $5.7 billion. I tell you right now, hey, Republicans, don't smile too much. I wish Republicans were worried about spending $5.7 billion, but they're not. So don't tell me it's about who pays for it. Brad goes on to say, whatever happened to the, we will have better, cheaper health care on day one. I don't know. How's that? Where are we sitting with that one? I'm with you, Brad. I would like that, too. Let's see. Brad says, there's no emergency on the border. Now, this is one of the discussions that's gone back and forth. A lot of people like Brad say exactly that. There's a lot of people say, no, look at these stories. There is an emergency on the border. I'm sure the president will address that tonight, and I'm sure the Democrats will address that in their response. He says, as a matter of fact, the vast majority of illegal immigrants are the ones who came here legally and overstayed their visas. There are a lot of those folks. Like I've told stories before, a kid who lived in our house. I say a kid because we were kids back then. He's a man now who ended up getting a mechanical engineering degree, went to South, and then got his master's from Northwestern. Pretty sharp guy, right? Was born in Moscow and lived in our house when I was growing up for my last year before I left for college. He's now back in Moscow because he overstayed his visa. They got him. Brad says this is all just bluster for Trump to keep his base riled up. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people. Sure, is it a base issue? Sure, it is. At the same time, I think there's a lot of Americans that might not make up the president's base. There may be people that voted for him that think the rule of law and security on our borders is important. We'll find out what he says tonight. I'd like to invite y'all to join me over at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. That's my Twitter handle. Starting at 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be live tweeting. So join the fracas, all right? All right, two guys and some change. Special time. They are on next hour right here at FM Talk 106.5.